Love this place, and I want to thank you so much for all the support and help you guys give. I don't like getting support. I don't like being on deputation as far as getting support, and I sure appreciate it. And I miss working, but I love working for the Lord. And so I really appreciate it. I always wanted to work my way and earn my own living. So it goes against the grain, just receiving from you. And we really appreciate it. My wife would say the same thing. And we open to Matthew chapter 22 tonight. And it's a blessing to see Daniel and Stacy get married. And watching them grow through the last few years down at Pensacola. I guess our house was the hangout. So got to spend a lot of time with them, and it's a blessing seeing what the Lord's done in their lives. In Matthew chapter 22, and if you look down at verse 35, here's a lawyer comes talking to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ always messes up the Pharisees, lawyers, Sadducees, and their work. They try and catch him in their speech, and you can't catch Jesus Christ, of course. And another lawyer comes to him. In verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, take on this Lord, this task of putting your words out and dealing with, Lord, the first and great commandment. And Lord, I pray that you just manifest yourself here this morning. Bless your words. This is your work. This is your people. This is, Lord, your servant. And I pray you'd just use, Lord, me here now. Through all my nervousness and all that, Lord, to be a blessing to the people. Lord, to accomplish what you're doing here. And I thank you so much for this church. Thank you for all you've done here through these people and the work they've done in my life. Just the charity and help and just teaching. And Lord, I appreciate it. And Lord, we most of all want to thank your Son and your words and you for and give you the glory, Lord, for all that you've done, because it's all your work. We can't boast in ourselves down here. This church isn't great because it's of our own work. It's your work. And Lord, we love you and thank you so much for you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us in just keeping this first commandment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This first commandment really rubs the road wrong. Right? Who can keep the first commandment? Most people can go down the line and try and say, "Well, I haven't broken the commandments," but who's kept the first one? Who's kept the first one? You get stuck on the first one, I'm stuck. Don't worry about the rest of them. Don't worry about murder and steal and all those things. How about the first one? How you doing on the first one? And that first one comes down. This is the first and great commandment. This is a sin directly against God. He wants your love. And I'm sure everybody in this room would raise their hand, "Lord, I love you." Right? I sure hope I'd be the first one to raise my hand, "Lord, I love you." Well, let's look at what the Lord talks about loving Him. Here He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." He doesn't want just part. He wants it all. God gets pretty jealous. God gets very jealous over you and what you spend your time with. God gets pretty jealous over you and what you love. And when your love gets less on Him, He doesn't like it. Right? Your spouse, if your spouse starts spending time with other things, you know, just spending time with the TV even, for example, and just spending time and not spending time with you like it? Of course not. And that's how God feels, and that's all through the Old Testament. People went and doted on their lovers. And it can be any of those gods Pastor was talking about this morning. And this first great commandment, we're supposed to love them. And I'd be first in line and say, "Lord, I love you. But there's some things behind the scene. Lord, help me to see these. And Abraham was probably about the closest one in the Bible you can find to loving God. Alright? He's God's friend of all us people. I don't think there's really anyone else less talked about. David's pretty close. Moses, there's some people that God loved. Why? Because they loved Him. God gives some special extra attention when you start giving some attention to Him. Now, He gives you some attention one way or another. He wants you to come to Jesus Christ. He comes after you. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. All those things. But He's looking for your love. That's why you're here down on this earth, so you can love your Creator. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to, Lord, I love you. You ever tell Him you love Him? You ever tell Him? I know you say, well, He knows I love Him. I'm doing all this. And I go to church every Sunday. Well, that's great, right? That's good. Well, let's see what the Bible says going through here. Look over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're just going to look at the world's condition first. John chapter 5, verse 39. The Bible says here, Jesus is talking again. He's having a run-on with the religious leaders and the Jews and what they're trusting in. They're trusting in the fathers. They're trusting in Abraham. I'm a Jew. And they have the Scriptures. And the Lord comes out to them and says, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Now, there's a very few religions out there that don't use the Bible. Obviously, there's a couple, right? But most of the religions in America you run into all use the Scriptures, right? Well, they don't call them the Scriptures. Then they run into a problem. But they all use the Bible, right? You have Campbellites. They use the Bible. They even say, blood of Jesus Christ, wash away my sins. And they'll come to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 8, said the water and the blood and the Spirit, and these three are one. But they have a problem. Did I quote that right? I sure didn't. They agree in one. They twist the Scriptures and but every cult around here, they use the Scriptures. And look at verse 39, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. There's people in Jesus Christ's day that had the Scriptures, they were religious, and God said, you don't love me at all. You don't love my Father. You have not the love of God in you. You know why? Look at verse 38. And ye have not His word abiding in you. For whom He has sent, him ye believe not. When you throw out His words, don't tell me you love God. When you start using just parts of His words, I'm going to read you a little thing here. This is the Cardinal's advice. A little excerpt back from Pope Pius III. It's a while back. Nothing's changed. They're just camouflage. But nothing's changed. This is the same thing they would say here today as they would back then. But here's a cardinal giving advice to Pope Pius III. And he says, of all the advice that we can offer your holiness, we must open your eyes well and use all possible force in the matter. Namely, to permit the reading of the gospel as little as possible in all the countries under your jurisdiction. Let the very little part of the gospel suffice, which is usually read in the Mass, and let no one be permitted to read more. So long as your people will be content with the small amount, your interest will prosper. But as soon as the people want to read more, your interest will fail. That's what people do with the Scriptures. That's what Baptists do with the Scriptures. They take their own part. Now, praise the Lord, I'm not here really against you. I believe this is a good church that searches the Scriptures and teaches you to study the Scriptures and not just rely on someone standing up here and telling you. You go and look for yourself. and you believe what you hear up in the pulpit because that's what the Scriptures say, and you have a Bible in your lap. You know, a lot of those churches out there have even gone deputation. They're not searching the Scriptures. They have a form of loving God, and they, you know, in some areas they do love God. But we're going to look at some areas where it gets rough. It gets rough. Look at John chapter 14. How do you know if you love God? Well, He's not just a God of your imagination. People make God to be what they want Him to be. People make God just like Himself. And God said, you better wake up. I will reprove you. You think I'm altogether such and one in yourself? Not even close. Not even close. If you're not in the Bible, you're not going to know who God is. You're not going to know who Jesus Christ is, what He's done for you. I know most of you are in your Bible. Some of you probably aren't. And the time you spend in your Bible is really going to directly relate to how much you love God. But here, how do you know if you love Him? John chapter 14, look at verse 15. If you love Me, keep My commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me, and he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him, and will manifest Myself to him. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love Me, he will keep My words. And My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Say, you love Him? I love You, Lord! Are you doing what He asks you to do? Now, most of you, I sure hope you are, right? That's what we're trying to do in the Christian life, is do what the Lord wants us to do. He says, do you love Me? Keep My commandments. And now, He gives you a whole bunch of commandments. I mean, I could go through a lot of grudging not one against another, be kind one to another, love your brethren, be forgiving, neither murmur nor complain, or flee fornication, flee also youthful lust, put on the whole armor of God, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Walk in the Spirit. He gives you things to think on. He gives you all kinds of commandments to abide by. But you know what? I find God gives you, each and every one of you, different things. Yeah, you have commandments across the board, but some things God tells you to do that He doesn't tell me to do. There's some things that God comes... Even just coming to an altar. You know, I sit in the pulpit. This is stuff that works me over. I sit in the pew, I listen to preaching, and the message is just really getting on me. So, Lord, I want to get this right. And He says, all right, the invitation comes and get up to that altar. The Lord, well, I'm the missionary. I mean, I'm sitting here, if people see the missionary going forward, what are they going to think? Say, Lord, don't worry. I know I can get things squared away right in my pew, right? I can take care of business right here. You know what? God told me to come up to the altar. Sometimes God tells me things that I don't want to do. And I try and get the thing squared away in my seat. Oh, I've done it many times, not come to the altar. I didn't obey Him. Remember Saul? Remember Saul? He was told to do something, and he wiped out the Amalekites. Except one, as far as I can read, he was the only saved king of Amalek, and he saved all the sheep, or the best of the sheep and the oxen, so he could do a sacrifice. And he said, I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord, and the Lord said, I don't even want you anymore. Partial obedience isn't good enough for Me. When you don't do what I ask you to do, don't come and raise your hand and tell Me you love Me. I don't want to hear it. I hate that part. I walk into a Walmart, going through, I need to buy some things, the baby's at home, I need to get some stuff, or, you know, I'm busy. Lord says, hey, that person over there, give him a track. Yeah, Lord, ever do that to you, or just to me? Lord, I'm busy. You know, there's time's running out, and my favorite TV show's coming on here pretty soon, and I gotta get home. You love me. I know the world gets you so often on the different things here and there, but how much do you love the Lord? He beats me up. I get mad sometimes. You get mad. You get mad at your spouse, or things don't go right that day, and the baby's acting up that day, or just different things. And you get mad, and the Lord comes to you and says, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Yes, Lord, I do very well right now. And you justify everything, and you give the reasons why you should be mad and why this should go. Lord says, "You love me. You love me." The first and great commandment. Boy, I don't find too many people. I'm good. I'm not good. If the Lord walked in this building today and said, "I'm going to stand up and say, I'll tell you who loves me," I'm out the building. I don't want you to see who, if the Lord points to me. I hope He points to me, but I don't want to be around too many times. I don't obey. Just in little things. You know, there's people, sometimes, some of them get big. "You going to go to Africa?" That's a rough one. You start watching videos of Africa. If you get interested in Africa, go to India. No, even to the Philippines. Just going anywhere. Oh, Lord. That gets hard. But there's some small things, too, that are just as hard. That we don't want to obey Him. And just some of the simplest things. And we deceive ourselves. And justify ourselves, "Lord, this isn't that bad. You love me? You love me? Lord, I love you." Most of the people I even meet out on the visitation or go out and witness to them, they'll tell you they love them. They'll be drinking a beer while they do it. "You love him?" "Oh, it's a heart matter." "Yeah, it is. It is." "You love me? Do what I ask you to do." And God asks each and every one of you, even apart from commandments, God talks to each and every one of you that are saved. If you're not saved, God doesn't come and tell you anything but, "You need my son." He works on you about receiving Jesus Christ, and you're going to go to hell without Jesus Christ. But God talks to you. You obey Him. Quit running your mouth. Oh, just shut up. He's pretty frank with me sometimes. It hits me over the head. Some of us aren't too smart. Deuteronomy 13. Look at Deuteronomy 13. 1 John 5 says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous." He doesn't ask you to do things that are impossible, that are so incredibly hard. He asks you to do simple things. Something you can do, and something that He can do through you. And it's not that hard. But boy, it's so hard to obey. It's so hard to obey sometimes. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Your love's going to be tested. And here he's telling the children of Israel, there's a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he's going to come through, and they're going to say, "Let us go after other gods." Look at verse 3. "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." God is over and over. He mentions this first commandment 10 times alone in Deuteronomy. Just looking up, it's probably in there more and more than that. But God's interested in your love. God loved you enough to die on a cross for you. He comes and dwells in you, abides in you, and He's there every second of the day. He says, "Can't you love me?" Love Him. I know most of you probably do. But just listen to Him and obey His voice. If more people obey in His voice, churches would be so wonderful. People would be so wonderful. If God wants you like Him. He wants you to not sin. He wants you to be pure. I'm nothing of the sort. But He is. He comes and works inside you. Says, will you love me? All I want you to do is just love me. Love me. There's some hindrances that get in the way. You say, how is God going to test you? In Matthew chapter 6, you know the verse, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will despise the one and hold to the other. You can't serve God and mammon. And God's going to put things in your life, whether it be family, whether it be money, whether it be ministry, whether it be work. And He's going to say, how much do you love me? I find the things I spend time with show how much I love. The more time I spend with the Bible, the more God just, He cuddles and just loves me. But the more time I spend on a stupid video game, I got rid of video games. Why? Because I spent hours and hours at video games. And that's just as a teenager, I wasted so much of my life on video games. You know what? I have a cell phone now. I had to get a smartphone because I needed internet, and I'm trying to call pastors, and you need lists, and there's lists on the internet and different things, emails. And there's little games you can install on those things, little apps. You know, I installed one, Tetris. I barely ever touched that game. But there's another one about the stupidest game ever, Angry Birds. I don't know what it is about that thing, but you just tap that thing and I don't know how many hours you can spend with a stupid bird flying across the screen. And the Lord says, you love me? What about spending some time in your Bible? And I get off and, Lord, I haven't read my Bible yet, or I've spent just a little bit of time, and how much time I spend with menial, stupid things, which may not necessarily be wrong or anything bad in it. You love me? How much you spend time just praying to Him, talking to Him, singing to Him, thank Him, just go out and just enjoy Him, just fellowship with Him, walk around with Him. Just walking around talking with Him, go through the woods. Sounds crazy. He loves it. He loves it so much. You think He just made you just so you can enjoy your life? He wants you to enjoy Him. That's why He put that first and great commandment there. Because He wants your love. Matthew 10 says, He that loveth father or mother more than me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me. We end up loving ourselves. We love all these other things. And those things are most of the time, a lot of the times the Lord will just test you. God tested Abraham. How much you love Isaac? Are you willing to put him on an altar for me? That's some rough love. That's why you could say Abraham probably loved God more than anybody else, because he was ready to take his only son, whom God promised as his seed was going to be great, and he was ready to put him on an altar just because God asked. Without hesitation. That's some love. And God asked us to do this or that. Lord, that's too hard. Lord, that's asking too much. No, it's not. That's not asking too much. I like reading this. It's kind of fun. It's sad but true, but the 23rd channel. The TV is my shepherd. I shall not want. It makes me to lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the Scriptures. It destroys my soul. It leads me in the paths of fornication and violence for the sponsor's sake. Yea, though I walk in the shadow of my Christian responsibilities, there will be no interruption. For the TV is with me. Its cable and its remote control, they comfort me. It prepares a commercial before me in the presence of my worldliness. It anoints my head with humanism. My coveting runneth over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house watching TV forever. Amen. Teens, you don't want to be uncool. I was a teen not too long. I guess it's getting longer and longer. And I was a teen not too long ago. The last thing you want is to be uncool. If you tell your friend, they ask you where you're at with the party last night. Hopefully you don't have friends that were at the party last night. But I was home reading my Bible. What? That's not cool. You know, you'd ask your friends, oh, well, hey, dude, did you hear that on Facebook? Oh, I'm sorry, I was out witnessing last night. I wasn't on my computer. All the social networking. What? Dude, out witnessing? Dude, that's not cool. You're not going to be cool with Jesus Christ. You love me? You love me? You know, there's things in this world you want to be a part of. I like sitting down watching a movie every once in a while. I like sitting down having barbecue. I like having fellowship. I like even having a party and have games. Like, there's nothing wrong with those things. But those things pull us away from God. You love me? Spend some time with me. Spend some time with me. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Characters and morale have been replaced with laziness and immorality. God in the Bible has been replaced with evolution and perversion. There's covetousness, all just wickedness everywhere. Try and get away from as much of it as you can and get closer to God. I'll tell you this. You may not enjoy it as much getting away from all those things you like right away. You might not enjoy putting down some of those things and getting into your Bible, getting close relationship with God and working on it. Because right at the beginning, it's not fun reading through 1 Chronicles. Right at the beginning, it's not fun to get down on your knees and just start praying. Trying to pour your heart out to God and just reading through some Psalms and just pray, going through the... Just start talking to Him. You get better praying the more you pray. The more often you spend time talking with Him, the better you'll end up praying. I tell you what, down the road, you're going to find a closeness with God that everybody else who went out and had the good time are going to come back looking for. I need something that you got. What I had out there wasn't satisfying. All those video games I played, they weren't satisfying. I played hundreds of them. I could probably beat most of you here. Not one of them satisfied me or amounted to a hill of beans. You know what? Amounted to a hill of beans. Saying, Lord, I love downhill skiing. I've been more times probably than everybody in this building put together. I had so many tickets downhill skiing. Lord, I'm giving up my skis. I sold them, got rid of them. I know part of it was for money too. But it's, Lord, I want to get close to you. I have so many things in my life that take me away from you that are so much God in my life, like Pastor was talking about, that I put so much interest into, and it's not wrong to go downhill skiing. There's nothing wrong with that. You see what I'm saying? It's not how, where you put your time, though. You went through your whole day, and you read one chapter of Proverbs. I hate those days. I get to the end of those days and say, God, I'm rotten. A whole day, and I read one chapter. I know we're busy. Some of us work hours and hours. Down in PBI, we were going to work all day and at school all night. We had Greek homework all weekend. God help us when we don't start spending time with the one that loved you. Look in 1 John chapter 4. How do you rekindle that love? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. Half of the Christian life is forgetting. You forget how good God's been to you. You forget how much He loves you. You forget that time when He came around and wrapped you in His arms. Said, son, going through a real hard time right now. And all you see is blackness ahead. But just follow me. I'll take you through it. Turn a little bit over here. Get around this one. He'll walk you through that step. How loving God is to you. I better get back on my pulpit. He loves you so much. He waits to hear your prayers. He waits to just do something through you. He loves you. If you trust Him as your Savior. You know what? If you haven't trusted Him as your Savior, He loved you so much. He came down to this earth and took your place. He became a man. So you can't say to God, you don't know how I feel. You don't have any excuse to say, God, you've never been through this. You're God. He's been through it and 10 times more than you have. He took your place and suffered what you should have suffered. Say, I'm not that bad of a person. We'll see that in the next verse. He took your sin on Him. That should be enough. But He doesn't stop there. He loves you every step of the way. He takes care of everything. Before I ever became a missionary, when I was sitting in the pew, you know what? He took care of everything. He took care of health problems. He took care of financial problems. He took care of spiritual problems. He took care of marital problems. He took care of every problem there was. He's there with you every step of the way. And you may not have liked the way He took care of it. But He loves you so much. I don't understand that part. I could get stuck on how rotten I am. But if I got stuck there, I'd forget how much He loves me. Sometimes I just lay in my bed. Like last night. You don't sleep before you preach in the morning at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Good night, how much He loves you. I don't know a time where I've gotten in the pulpit where I didn't know what He wanted me to preach on deputation. There have been times before that, I'm sure. But He's been so faithful, just speaking to me, coming to me, talking to me, helping me through every step of the way. Whenever we have marital problems, guess what helps us out? Not me. Usually within an hour of spending some time on our knees, that thing's resolved. Are you a great Christian? No. God's a great God. And if you want to let Him do something, and if you want to... He loves you so much. Look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. It's the goodness of God that should lead you to repentance. When you see how good God's been to you, Lord, I haven't been that good to you. And I know you're doing stuff for Him. I've been trying to do something for Him for this past 7, 8, 9, about 10 years now. You love me? You love me? He still sits me over the head and says, Lord, more love to Thee, O Christ. More love to Thee. Lord, I need to love You more. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Here's that woman comes to Jesus Christ and He's in the house with the Pharisee. And that Pharisee doesn't do anything for Him. But this woman comes in, anoints His head and His hair and wipes His feet with His hair, kisses His feet. In verse 47, Jesus said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. When you don't realize how big your sins are, that you think Hitler and Stalin are really bad people, I make them look pretty good. Take your place with Paul. I'm the chiefest of sinners. Get in your Bible and find out how much your sin is rotten to God. So don't, instead of saying, I'm not like Hitler, I'm not like Stalin, say, Lord, I'm just as rotten as all any other sinner in this world. And Your mercy covered my sins. And I can't boast in my righteousness, but Yours alone. He likes that. When you don't see how much you've been forgiven, you're not going to love much. When you don't see what God's done in washing away your sins, how filthy and... Praise the Lord, you get saved at a young age. I got saved at the age of 6. I mean, I didn't get off in too bad sins. Me and my wife were virgins before we married. And, you know, I didn't get into drugs, all that stuff. I'm still dirty and rotten of a sinner. Right here. I've killed people. Oh, yeah, right in here. I've wished them dead. Boy, oh boy, and you think God just... I'm not a murderer. You're not looking in the right place. Amen. You've deceived yourself. Amen. Your sins, they are many. And you may not see them as many. But when you start seeing your sins as many, you start loving a little bit more. Because you'll see your sins, which are many, many have been forgiven. Many. Can you imagine just forgiven? Not just forgiven, but cleared. Yeah. Wiped off the map.
Thank God.
Gone. Get to heaven and say, where are they? Yeah. The devil's trying to find them and bring them up, and they're not there. And you're thinking, you know, there was some, you know, that I did do some pretty rotten stuff down there, and the Lord said, well, I don't see any of them. Isn't that some reason to love the Lord?
Yes, sir.
He's been good to you. Iniquity. Because of iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. And iniquity's all over the place. You're living in the world. I don't think it was really any worse today. It's just different than back then. Iniquity's just been around. People have always hated God. People have always loved themselves. They've iniquity. Don't let iniquity be the reason you're cold. Don't let iniquity stand between you and God. I know it's some of that stuff is so appealing and so appetizing. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Loving your Lord, God, and Him coming down, loving you. And He doesn't have to come down. He's right here with you. Right here with you. 2 Corinthians 5. The love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ. Why do you love people? I love my family. Why they raised me. Why do you love people? Why would you go across the street and witness to someone over there? It's because you're such a great, loving person. God's put His love in you. He wants that love to work out. There's not a Filipino over there I would care a thing in the world 10 years ago. There's not people around this one. Let them go to hell. They have their own choice. I wouldn't care. I'm worried about myself. You know what? Jesus Christ put His love in you. And He wants that love to go out. Go out to Him. Go out to others. Witness for Him. You know, there's places where I can see God hating sinners. I don't see anywhere in there where you're supposed to hate sinners. Doesn't matter who they are. Even Muslims, I've heard some pretty good messages on Muslims and hating them. You should love them to get the gospel to them. You should show them Christ's love. That's what's supposed to constrain you and move you. You know why I want to go win those Filipinos to the Lord? Like anybody else here in this room would want to win anybody here in this city to the Lord. It's Christ putting some love in you. It's not your love. It's His. It's His love. Don't change it. Don't respect it. This person, you know, he's not worth it. Jesus Christ died for them. He loved them enough to die for them. Show them that love. Be that light. Pastor, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You so much for Your love and showing it on Calvary. You died for our sins. You came to this earth and live like a man and die like a man. Lord, die like God. What to say there? Lord, You did what we couldn't do. And You came to one of Your favorite disciples and You said, "Peter, lovest thou Me?" I don't doubt Peter's love. He loved You, Lord. But there's something, Lord, You were asking, You were after. That, "Peter, You love Me." Lord, I pray You just work in the Christians' hearts here. "Christian, do You love Me?" Or most of the time, Lord, I'd hate to see what You'd say about me. I'm scared standing before You someday, standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And Lord, how much did I do just for my own self-profit? How much did I do just so I could be seen, my reputation, Lord? I wanted to be a Bible believer. I wanted to be known among them. Lord, how much did I do it just because of Your love in me? Lord, help me. Lord, bless Your people. Bless Your words. In Jesus' name, amen.